Okay.
Good morning. You're always nervous when you're giving shiurim on Vayakol and Pekudei. Is the Ksava Kabbalah going to have anything more on Vayakol and Pekudei, or did he say it all already on Shum and Tetzava? Baruch Hashem, there are some new ideas. So we'll begin at the beginning. Chumeitchem Chuma Lashem. So he says something very interesting here. And again, this is, as I tell you every week, the words of Rabbi Tversky come true every week. The Ksava Kabbalah is a tremendous machadesh. He says things that are against everybody else. Here we go. Listen to this diuk. We've read these sukkim so many times, and never were medayik this. Look what he says. Amru b'mechilta d'Rashbi. What he calls mechilta d'Rashbi, that's the Zohar. When he's talking about mechilta d'Rashbi, he's talking about the Zohar. So it says in mechilta d'Rashbi, Me'itchem vadai, that when this parshan Vayakel, when it says take from you the gold and silver for the building of the Mishkan, it means only from those of you who are for sure Jews. Me'itchem vadai. Velo kikadmisa, and not like my original commandment in Parshas Truma, Tichsiv, Me'es kolish asher yidvenu libo. Here it's kume itchem, from those of you who are Vadai Jews. Not like I said in Truma, you can take from anybody. What's the difference? Begain, this is Aramaic, I apologize, but Begain debog kitchabrichul echlala inun erev rav bahadayu di Yisrael. Wow. Originally, by the commandment of the Mishkan, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to accept donations from anybody, including the Erev Rav. Who is the Erev Rav? This like mixed multitude of Egyptians that came up with the Jewish people out of Egypt, but who wanted to be part of the Jewish people, or who snuck out with them, or whatever it was. So they were allowed to contribute also. V'kulu ispaktu lemevad uvda de Mishkana. Even the Erev Rav was included in the original commandment to build the Mishkan. Lebasar desatu inan Erev Rav va'avdu yas egla. However, after the Erev Rav got involved in instigating the Jewish people to worship the Egel Azahav, the golden calf, in last week's parasha, Parashat Kisisa, Amar Kitchabrichu mikanu lahala, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, from now and on, I'm re-commanding you to build the Mishkan a second time. That's why, of course, we're going to mention in a second, you have Truma Tetzav, and then you have Kisis, and then V'Yakov Kudei. The whole boring litany of how all the measurements, it all repeats again in V'Yakov Kudei, right? So Hashem says, from now on, Uvda de Mishkana, lo yehe elam yisitra di Yisrael b'l'chudayu. It has to be donated from the Jews alone, not the Erev Rav. Ah! Lachen Ksiv, as Rabbi Freeman just said, Lachen Ksiv, Vayakel Moshe es kaladas b'nei Yisrael. So now it starts off, Vayakel Moshe es kaladas b'nei Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together for the second commandment. No, you Erev Rav guys, you instituted in the Egel, you're out of this. I don't know if they all died, but Vayakel Moshe es kaladas b'nei Yisrael, uksiv basrei k'chume itchem. Uvda de mishkana lo yisavid el mi Yisrael b'l'chudai v'lo me'inun Erev Rav. Wow. So says the Zohar. Now explains the Ksava Kabbalah. So what's the first take-home message from this? This is an idea I like to talk about all the time. Mevor bezeh. Ditzivu yamalachas ha-mishkan shebepashas trumo tetzave haya kodem ma'ase egel. So the first thing you see from this is that the Torah is not going out of order. That's a dispute between Rashi and Ramban. Rashi famously says that the commandment to build the egel actually happened after the sin of the golden calf, because Rashi talks about how the gold of the Mishkan is supposed to atone for the gold of the golden calf. But wait a minute, the Torah is out of order. Truma Tetzava comes before Kisisa. The golden calf happened after the commandment to build the egel. So the Ksava Kabbalah is pointing out that according to the Zohar, that there was this change from the Mishkan before the egel to after the egel, clearly the Torah is written in order. That's like the opinion of the Ramban, who disagrees with Rashi. Udelo kerashi. Shekosav demaisa egel kodum letzivim lachsa mishkan. So that's point number one. So just about that point, I like to say all the time, every few years I say this, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, shekach v'nevaro.
Amen.
What's the idea there? It's really incredible that the Torah goes through every single detail of the Mishkan and Truma and Tetzaveh and the Big Day Kahuna and every Kli. And then you have Cheder Egel, and then the Torah goes through. Okay, very nice that the Zohar is saying, okay, the first one included the Erev Rav, the second one didn't include the Erev Rav. Shkoyach. But why did the Torah have to go through every detail again? Just say, okay, I went through all the details. We sat through Truma and Tetzaveh already. Now we got to sit through again by Akalim. Just say, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu recommanded it, and this time it was without the Erev Rav. But what do you got to go through every detail again? So one of the messages I really like to stress here, there's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that, you know, in the Yud Gimel Midos, we say, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachem Uchanan. Very, very strange. Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachem, it's totally against our religion. The Gemara in Brachos says that a person who says Shema, Shema, he's an apikoris. Right? If he says Modim, Modim, Meshatkin also. Because it's like you're saying there's two gods. We talk about this all the time. Right? Shema, we say every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So, what's Hashem Elokeinu? Hashem is the God of mercy, and Hashem Elokeinu is the God of justice. What, there's two gods? So the Kli Yakar and the Malbim, many others, say that what we're supposed to be thinking when you say every morning, Shema Yisrael, it's probably important we should know what to think when we say this Pasuk, right? It's a pretty important Pasuk. It's like the foundation of all Judaism, right? So sometimes we forget. What does it mean? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It means that the God of mercy and the God of justice, even though it looks like sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Santa Claus and sometimes he's Rambo. I'm sorry to date myself, but he's going to blow us out of the water, whoever. So even though sometimes you feel like very close to Hashem, sometimes you feel very far. So in the olden days, they used to think there was a God of good and a God of evil. That was the big apikorsis. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that's why we make the first blessing of Kriya Shema, which is connected to the first paragraph of Shema. We say, Yotzer Or Uvor Yechoshech. What's the intention there? It's the morning now. What are you mentioning the darkness for? So the Gemara says, "K'tei lahazkim in the slad of yomi this yom b'layar." Soloveitchik said the pshat is that we say the same God who created darkness created light. It's the same God, meaning darkness and light doesn't just mean darkness and light. It means the dark times and the light times. It's the same God. So that's why we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's why we say it's all mercy. What looks to us like darkness in this world is all mercy. So what's Hashem Hashem? Kel Racham Achanan, two gods. We don't have Hashem Hashem. You guys had a stutter. You had a stutter. Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Achanan. What does that mean? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says Hashem Kodem Sheyechta, Hashem Laachas Sheyechta. Ha'adam. That the same God who is close to you before you sin, even after a person sins, he should realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still there with him. He doesn't reject you just because you sin. There may be distance. But a person has to realize that the same relationship that he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before he sinned is open and available to him to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly the same way it was after he sinned, the same way it was before he sinned. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. That's why we say by the Yud Gimel Surachim, we say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachim Mechanan. Hashem Kodem Sheyechta, Hashem Lacha Sheyechta. So says the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. So I always understood the same thing over here by the Cheder Egel. That's why you have Truma Tetzaveh, then Kisisa, then Vayakam. Because we repeat every detail again. Every detail. This was the massive sin of the golden calf. Is the Jewish people ever going to be able to recover from this sin? Right away, they just got the Torah, boom, right away. They ran away right away. It's like, Chazal say it was like, you know, like a kala committing adultery on the wedding night. Literally. It's crazy. They just got the Torah 40 days later, mamish, they're worshiping a golden calf. So that's the idea. So again, that's if you say like Ramban, you could say this either pshat. If you say like Ramban and the Zohar, that really the Torah is in order. So the reason the Torah is in order, it's repeating every detail to show you that even after sin, a person has the ability to get 100% back close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, the same way it was before the sin. Adarabba, we say v'makom shabali tshuva omdim tzadikim gemurim reinu chol lam. But sometimes a person who sinned can even get closer to Hashem than someone who didn't sin in the first place, because the sin makes you appreciate, it makes you feel distance, and makes you appreciate needing to come back. It's the people who sin who feel the lowest, and they need themselves to come rushing, charging back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They feel the distance more. So, and even if you say like Rashi, that the Torah is out of order, so why did the Torah write it this way? if the Torah, if really the commandment to build the Mishkan happened before the sin of the golden calf, so why did the Torah write happened after? So why did the Torah write it before? So you could say the same idea that maybe the Torah wrote it before to show this idea that the Mishkan, that Hashem's house is available to a person before he sins and after he sins in the same way, even though in this case it was actually a reaction to the sin. Anyway, that's not really what the Ksava Kabbalah focuses on, but that's what I wanted to focus on. So, so take a look. So that's just the introduction. So just he points out that this is against Rashi. And I found the commentary Maskil David points out that the Zohar is against Rashi. The Zohar is against Rashi. Kasav liyashiv. And he wrote to answer the question, even though the first 40 days he was commanded on the Mishkan, lo nitzdava oz rakal klolos hadavar. He says to answer Rashi that on the first 40 days when Moshe was up there, he just had general commands about the Mishkan, v'hereu sham bahar ha-mishkan kulo v'hamenor v'akelim. And he showed him pictures of everything. He says the general rule was there, but the details happened after. That's what Rashi means. He says the Ksav HaKabbalah. I don't really like his explanation. But he says with the Zohar's pshat. Nisiyashev Lashon HaMikra Sheomer, that's also why it says Kol Ish V'Yishar Shenodav Libam Osam Lahav Yilcham Lacha Heviyu B'nei Yisrael. Why does it say B'nei Yisrael over here? Demilos B'nei Yisrael Mitra Abel Acha Shamar Kol Ish V'Yisha. Since it said Kol Ish V'Yisha, you would have thought even the Erev Rav Hayim Makom Lomer Ki Gama Erev Rav Hayim Bechlal HaMisnadun Lachin Hosef B'nei Yisrael Afuki Acher. Therefore he adds the word B'nei Yisrael to exclude the Erev Rav. So it's interesting, I mean, it comes out the pshat that I wanted to say is pretty much against the Ohr HaChaim. I'm suggesting that, I don't think it's my idea, I forgot who I saw it from originally, like 30 years ago, the first time I came across this idea about that. Hashem Kodem Sheyecht, Al Hashem Ach Sheyecht, that's the reason the Torah repeats the whole Mishkan, every detail, is to show that the same connection is after before. The truth is, if you think about it, the Zohar and what the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying that originally included the Erev Rav, but now after the sin of the golden calf, he excluded the Erev Rav, is actually opposite what I was saying, because he's saying that once the Erev Rav sinned the golden calf, God said, no, you can't be part of the Mishkan anymore. It's exactly the opposite idea of what I'm suggesting. But apparently the Erev Rav lost the ability to be part of the Mishkan after sinning in the golden calf. And again, perhaps that idea is that when it comes to dedicating to the Mishkan, to the Mikdash, to Beis HaMikdash, so it had to be only from very pure funds. The Beis HaMikdash actually had to be donated from only pure funds. Once the Erev Rav got their hands dirty in the Chet HaEgel, they could no longer donate the funds for the Mishkan. Because when we build yeshivas, and we build shuls, and we build Beis HaMikdash, it has to be from clean funds. You can't use funds from people who sin, or from people who are not pure, as we're going to see in a moment. So that would be almost a little bit the opposite kind of idea, that as far as building Beis HaMikdash, when you're building the holiness of Hashem's house, it has to be from the Erev Rav. But anyway, let's continue. Ah, beautiful idea. You got to look at the pasuk inside. Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chafal. Let's look at the pasuk inside. Lamed Hei Chafal. It'll mean a lot more if you look at it inside. Let's take a look. Shemos, Lamed Hei Chafal. So the Torah uses two expressions, and he says something very, very beautiful here.
272.
Thank you. Page 272. Lamed Hei Chafal. So who came to donate here? Who donated? We talk about this every year, but I mean, we've been learning together for 15 years, so something's going to have to... some of that, right? There's only a finite number of words in the parasha, Barry. You know what I'm saying? So let's see. The infinite ideas. That's true. I agree. Vayavo kolish asher nisa'o libo. So who came to donate? Anyone whose heart carried him. Nisa'o libo. That's one category. V'chol asher nadva rucho. Some people, their heart carried them, and some people, their spirit carried them. Two different categories of people. So who were these two categories? Who are the people who are carried by their hearts, and who are the people carried by their spirits? What's the difference? What's the idea? The Torah seems to be distinguishing. Zokta Helaga Ksava Kabbalah, let's see what he has to say. Nisa'o libo and nadva rucho. So you know how he says so beautifully. Look how he says so beautifully. What's the difference between nisa'o libo and nadva rucho? Look what he says. Yesh shnei minei nedivim. There are two types of people who give money. This is for all the fundraisers. Somehow, right? We always say, Jerry, it always comes out around the dinner. Parshas Truma Tetzaveh Kisisa Vayakal Pekudei. It always comes out around the dinner. So Hashem was with me here because yeah, he always gives us material. Nisa'oli, because this was the greatest campaign.
Good sign for next week.
Right, this is the greatest campaign.
I was only hearing.
Right, exactly. Nisa'oli bo navarucho. Yesh shnei minei nedivim. There are two types of people who give money. Yesh misnadev rak mitzad nafsho. There are some people who only give with their souls. Ki teva gashmiuso misnagedes bo lochus almamono. Because their physical natures cause them to want to hoard their money to themselves. Naturally speaking, in terms of their nature, it doesn't come easy to them to give to other people, to give to causes, to give to Jewish causes. By nature, if my money is mine. My money is mine. I made it. I worked hard for it. It's my money. You're going to come saying you need money for a yeshiva, you need money for a tzedakah, you need money for poor people. It's not easy for me physically, in terms of my physical self, it's not easy for me to part with my hard-earned money. But what causes me to give? What causes me to give is my soul. My soul battles with my body. I have my taivas that I want. I want a fancy house. I want fancy cars. I want fancy clothing. I want fancy food. I want fancy everything. My wife needs it. I need. But there's a little piece of the guilty conscience inside me, which is my soul, that I feel like, even though my body wants a lot of things for myself, but my soul says, come on, you gotta help people. There's a value to helping people who need, the yeshiva needs, the hatzalah needs, the tomchei Shabbos needs, people need. So my soul whips my body into shape and says, okay, you gotta give. That's one type of person who gives, says the Ksava Kabbalah. That's one type of person. Omnam mitzad nafsho, but his soul kavash teva yitzur lisnadev. Isn't that all of what so much of Judaism is about? I met somebody last week. And he remarked to me, you know, you lost a lot of weight. And I said, no, I didn't lose a lot of weight, but for the last bunch of years, I've been working on the way I eat. I've been working on myself. And so he also lost weight, this guy. Also lost weight. And he said, you know, I really think there's such a parallel between losing weight and being a frum Jew. Because this guy, not only has he lost weight recently, he also has had a rather dramatic spiritual awakening in the last 5 years. He was a little more, he was more distant. But over the last 5 years, he's like become like much more inspired. He's listening to a lot of Rabbi Weinberger's shiurim. He's becoming a lot more inspired in his Yiddishkeit. And he said to me, and he knows that I'm good friends with him, so he knows that I know that he's become a lot more inspired. So he says, you know, I really think the two things go hand in hand. He says the two things are very similar. Conquering your instincts to want to eat a lot and realizing that it's a more healthy way of living if you don't eat everything you see, you know, and just because you're in a place where a lot of people are eating, or, you know, you go to a chasna, there's like, you know, there's this course, there's that course, there's the dessert, there's the shmorg, then the people eat. People don't eat, when you eat normally, your house, on a, you don't have the shmorg and then the main course and then the, you don't eat like that. You don't eat like that. With the way people eat a chasnas, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And then then three desserts. Is that the way you eat like on a regular dinner on Tuesday night at your house? You have three desserts? Is that the way you have normally? No one eats like that normally.
And then when you're dancing, they bring stuff to you too.
I'm saying, right. It's crazy. LMI, what's the shot? When in Rome, do like the Romans. That's what you think is the normal way to do. That's what everyone's doing. So he said, like by Yiddishkeit, he feels like in his own growth in Yiddishkeit, it's been a very similar kind of journey. And I have to say that while most of my changes that I made in my eating habits, like about 11 years ago when I hit my 40th birthday, so I made certain changes in the way I eat. It's always it's a big struggle. I go up and I go down. I'm not saying it's so simple. It's a big struggle. But you can train yourself. You can train yourself to. There's a certain training, and with a person's yetzaharas and taivas, you can train yourself also. And part of the reason I did what I did, most of it was health reasons, certain family health history that I have, but most of it was health reasons. But some of it was also spiritual reasons. I just felt the excess was not necessary, and it was reflecting in other areas of life also. So he's saying over here that when it comes to giving tzedakah, we have the same thing. You have a natural, people have a natural, normal desire to keep their money. It's my hard-earned money. It's the worst thing in the world to have to go ask people for money. It's the worst thing ever. Over the last couple of months, I've had to get involved in this more than I ever have before in the last 22 years because we're trying to extend the building over here, and it's very, very uncomfortable. One of the most uncomfortable things ever is going to ask somebody to give money. Because it's his money, he earned it, and most people. Well, I don't know most, but he's going to say there's two types of people. But there are many, many people who feel like I earned my hard-earned money. Well, what gives you the right to come over and ask me for my hard-earned money? But then the neshama overcomes and says, he's not asking for himself. The yeshiva, they're crowded. They have no room. They got four classes going on in the Beis Medrash at the same time, through part of the day. They're overwhelmed. So the yeshiva needs that. We need to help the kids learn Torah. They need it. So that's one type of person that gives. But then the Ksavagol says, "But there's another type of person. I'm still looking for these type, for the second type. But there's another. No, there are. Baruch Hashem, there are few and far between.
You mean for more? You're looking for more of those types.
Look. Exactly. Look what he says. V'yesh misnadei benafsho v'gufo. There are some people who are wired to be naturally giving people. There's some people who are wired that way. It's not just their soul. It's even their physical part of them. They are naturally wired to want to give. That when you come to them, there are actually some people, when I go to them, they make me feel like I'm doing them the favor of helping them give money. There's people who feel like that. There are not so many of them, but there are certain people that are just so generous and so gracious. They don't make it. They're just gracious people. Again, it helps to have. If you don't have, it doesn't matter. But v'yesh misnadev benafsho v'gufo ki ein teva gashmiyosa misnagedes elav. His nature does not go against the desire to give. Zeh ha'achro nikra nisa'o libam. He says that's the two people in the pasuk. Both gave to the Mishkan. There were Nisa'o Libo and Nadva Rucho. He says, Nisa'o Libo is the type of person who naturally, instinctively wanted to give. Ki gam lev gashmiyusa misratza l'nidvas nafsho. V'harisho nikra nidvas rucho. But the first one, that only his spirit gave, but his body didn't. Libo means even his taivas were willing to give. Libo means like your essence, your physical, your taivas. That's part of your lev, is part of your taivas. But your nefesh, rucho, your spirit, that's your soul. So nisa'o libo are the people who naturally gave, even though naturally, but nadva rucho means his body didn't want to give, but his spirit overcame his body to cause him to give. Ki rak hatzad ruach nishmaso isnadev. I have no idea who the Rama is, but I think we've said this pshat over the last 14 years. This is not the first time we're mentioning this on the Friday morning. But Nadva Rucho, so Nadva Rucho, I don't know who Reish Mem Aleph is. If you have a suggestion, let me know. Va'ayin mashikosafti reish pasitzave beperish v'heim yekhu b'shem Ramban v'kabonos mikrozeh. So I thought that was a beautiful shot. But the idea is that in a lot of things in Yiddishkeit, it's not such a terrible thing. We are human beings, and we do have a nature to sometimes go against what the Torah is asking from us. If you work, but the other point, so and that's not a terrible thing when a person's neshama succeeds in preventing his guf from doing what the guf wants to do. The guf has taivas and wants to do X, Y, and Z. But the neshama says, Hashem said, no, you have to train yourself. You have to hold yourself back. That's what all of Judaism is about. And that's not a bad thing. That's what we're here for. The struggle between the guf and the neshama is something that's what all of Judaism is about. That's what all of life is about. But I think...
It's a good thing.
What?
More likely than not, it's a good thing.
Exactly. But I think the other point, Barry, as we talk about all the time, is, and I really believe this very strongly, which is that over time, a person can whip his guf into shape and train the guf to not have, you can move up, you can advance the chains. Or Aristotle likes to talk about moving the chains. That's a football reference. But you get the first down, then you have another 10 yards you have to get for the first down. I apologize for those not familiar with the football reference. But the point is, once you get to a certain level, you can become better in this. What was a taiva for you 10 years ago doesn't have to be a taiva for you 10 years later. You can train yourself that's no longer where my taiva is. Now my taiva is in a different place. Now I have a different, hopefully a higher madrega. Anyway, let's continue. Let's continue. Here we go. B'yodeh HaTavu, very beautiful. B'yodeh HaTavu. Next piece. Very strange pasuk. And again, the Ksav HaKabbalah, what do we say about him? He's a tremendous mechadesh. The Ksav HaKabbalah is a tremendous mechadesh. Look what he says over here. V'chol isha chachma slave b'yodeh HaTavu. Strange. Strange. Bottom of page 272. V'chol isha chachma slave b'yodeh HaTavu. So everybody and their grandmother has a pshat on this. Why is the Torah calling out the fact that all the women spun with their hands, as the Ksav HaKabbalah says? Look what he says. Milas biyodeh nira kimiyusar. The word that they spun the strings for the garments, for the mishkan, for the covering of the mishkan with their hands, nira kimiyutar. It's extra. Hachi mishkachas tefiyah mecha misharivarm. What would you think? They spun the thread with their feet? Why does the Torah have to say they spun it with their hands? Obviously they spun it with their hands. Which other organ of their body did they, with their noses, did they spin the thread? Look what he says. Hachi mishkachas tefiyah bech misharivarm. Aval tamo hatfiyah hoysam maise yedeya mamish. No. They made it themselves from scratch. Lo kanu hatavoy me'achirim. They didn't go to the shuk that sells string in the midbar. I'm not sure who they would have bought it from. But he says, they did it from scratch. They didn't go buy it from other people. I guess in Egypt, they didn't buy string and bring it out with them. They spun it from scratch. Aflo sachru palim litvos. The women didn't hire workers. I don't know who they would have hired in the desert, but maybe they were passing people. I don't know. Aflo sachru palim litvos. They didn't hire other people to spin it. Rakheim atzmam hishtadlu betivoy lechibov mitzvah. Because the mitzvah was so beloved to them, they said, we're not going to have anybody else spin this thread. We want to do it ourselves. We want to do it from scratch. We want to put every little brick on this mishkan ourselves. We want it to be our blood, sweat, and tears that started every little piece of this because the mitzvah was so beloved to them. Because the mitzvah was so beloved to them. You know, we have an idea in Yiddishkeit called mitzvah bo yosemi bishlucho. It's a bigger mitzvah for you to do it yourself rather than to appoint somebody else to do it. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin that Rabba Machrich Resha, in the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, Rabba Machrich Resha, Rava Malach Shibuta, that Rabba and Rava used to cook the food in the house Erev Shabbos. I'm not going to let my wife get all the mitzvah for me. I'm not going to let my wife get all the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Rabba Macha Kresha, Rabba Mal Shibuta. Cleaning the house, I'm not going to let the cleaning lady get the reward for cleaning the house for Shabbos. I'm going to pick up a broom and welcome the Shabbos queen myself. Mitzvah bo yosem ebishlucha, the Gemara says, a bigger mitzvah for you to do yourself. What, you're going to appoint a shliach to do all your mitzvahs for you? It's a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos, to take a shower for Shabbos, to clean the house for Shabbos, to cook the food for Shabbos, to wear nice clothing for Shabbos, to go to the cleaners, whatever, all these things. I'm not going to, the Amorayim, it says the Gemara, beginning of Masechet Kedushin, they wouldn't have other people. The Gemara calls attention. They would do it. Mitzvah yosem ebishlucha. I like to say this all the time when it comes to making tzitzis. When it comes to building a sukkah, right? It's a bigger mitzvah to do it yourself than to appoint somebody else to do it. The Netziv says that there's such a thing called the Heksha Mitzvah Ksuva Bekra. Heksha Mitzvah Ksuva Bekra. That if the Torah talks about the making of the mitzvah, then it's not just the performance of the mitzvah that's a mitzvah, but even the preparations for some mitzvahs. For some mitzvahs, not for every mitzvah, but there's no bigger mitzvah for you to make your own shofar than to have some buy a shofar from somebody else. But when it comes to sukkah, the Torah says, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha. And when it comes to tzitzis, it says, Gedilim tasalacha. So even though the asiyah is not a mitzvah, even though making tzitzis is not a mitzvah, but there's a bigger mitzvah for you to make your own tzitzis than to have somebody else make them for you. So says the Netziv. If the Torah stipulates tasa, so even though it's not really a mitzvah to make tzitzis, it's a heksha mitzvah, but it's a heksha mitzvah that it's a bigger mitzvah for you to get involved in than to have somebody else do.
Didn't we learn Shaliach Kagufa?
Shluch Shalom Kamosa. But mitzvah bo, yosem ibishlucha. You're right. So it's kamosa. So that's the question. How kamosa is it? It's just as good, but it's kimosa. It's like you did it, but not actually.
You're mekayim it, but just not at a higher level.
Right. It works, but it's a higher level of performance for you to do it on your own. But it's a good point, Herbie. It's a good point. Very good point. But we see here there's this idea of chibuv mitzvah, right? It's not just the performance of the mitzvah that's important. If you were a brisker, then that's all that's important. Did I do the mitzvah or not? The briskers say, but it's not just, that's one level, that's in terms of the halacha. But in terms of what you get out of the mitzvah, there's a thing called chibuv mitzvah, that we're supposed to treasure mitzvahs, and our attitude towards mitzvahs is important to Hashem also. Hashem doesn't want us just to go through life performing mitzvahs like they're a burden on us. Okay, it's a burden on me, so I'll go hire my cleaning lady. I don't want to clean the house myself, so it's a burden, so I'll go hire the cleaning lady. I don't want to cook the food myself, so I'll hire somebody else to cook the food. No. Mitzvah bo yosem b'shulcho. If you're mechabev the mitzvah, you should want to get involved in it. If you have the time. You should want to get, but you know, we make time for that which is important to us. Right? Okay, maybe we have time for one more piece, which is on the same level. The truth is that's really all I wanted to do. You can do the last two pieces for homework, but honestly, they weren't so inspiring, the last two pieces. So I'm happy we got it. This week there was only a limited amount because he already said everything in Truman Tetzave. There was only a limited amount. They were interesting, but they were interesting. Ha'aras,
at least we have an adult.
Right, exactly. That's the idea.
Maybe we should jump to the Kudai.
Well, what's next week? We're going to have
a Shia. No, but we went to double parsha. We never get to it.
Okay, but next week we are going to. I have to save some for next week. And this, I could have said from Shkolim also. This week's also Shkolim, but that's Kisisa. We sort of did that last week. Okay, here we go. Last piece. And this is so interesting. This is very interesting, very, very medayik. It's the same idea as we just said before. Vayikale ha'am mehavi. Vayikale lashon minia, Rashi says. And Rashi says they stopped. They stopped from bringing the, right? Vayikale ha'am mehavi. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw there was so much gold and silver. He said, stop, enough. Vayikale ha'am mehavi. So the people stopped from bringing. Amnam, right. No fundraiser ever said that in his lifetime. Stop. Amnam, lo haisa menias hava'asam lirtsonam. Says the Ksava Kabbalah, they didn't want to stop. Dim kein hayaroi lomar lehavi belamid. It should have said, vayikalei ha'am lehavi. if they willingly would have done it, it should have said that people stopped lehavi, to give. They stopped to give. That would imply, says the Ksav HaKabbal, that they stopped willingly. Va'od, demimash nemar, marbim ha'am lehavi, yodanu, demimaniyas tzivui Moshe, ha'yu marbim v'holchim. Without Moshe's command, they would have kept on bringing and bringing and bringing and bringing. Ella, va'yikalehu kifi ikar hanachas shem kele. He says, va'yikaleh comes from the word kele, which is like a jail. Beis ha'kele. Shenimna ha'yitzia mimenu ba'ones. The definition of a jail is a place that people want to get out of, but they prevent you, against your will, from getting out of. Cain, similarly, va'yikaleh ha'am. The people were prevented from giving against their will. Nimna mi lahavi bal karcham. They wanted to keep giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Vishalolir tsonim, it was against their will. Umilas mehavi. Tamo shalolavi. The word mehavi with a mem is not like lehavi. Lehavi means to give. Mehavi means he had to stop them from wanting to give against their will. The addition of a mem prior to the word. He's very into dictuk, very into grammar. The mem before word always symbolizes something that you did not want to do, but did anyway, as in he shows. Look, come on. Remember that? That was by Avimelech, where God comes to Avimelech and says, I know you wanted to sin, but I prevented you from sinning. You wanted to sin, but I prevent you may from doing it against your will. Shelo lachto. Kol shomer Shabbos mechalalo. If you want to be mechal Shabbos, I'm going to prevent you from being mechal. Liblicha, to not be mechalit. V'targo v'aykala mehavi. V'shevach ha'am diber akosav. Again, the Torah here is talking about the praise of the people. The praise of the people. Mechibuva mes ha-mitzvah. They were mechabev the mitzvah. And they were so machabe, the mitzvah of wanting to donate is because they were overwhelmed with wanting to give to Hashem's house. Oh man, do I have a lot of dinner material here. Echibuvam es ha-mitzvah. Ve'ein nachon letargamo demashmu'uso gam b'denaycha da'atayu b'kach. So the Ksav HaKabbal is saying you don't need the targum to say this pshat because it's the simple pshat also. You don't need to get into fancy explanations. That's the simple pshat in the word mehavi, that they really wanted to give and they were so overwhelming with wanting to give that Moshe Rabbeinu had to say stop. It's enough. We have enough gold and silver. So this is a tremendous lesson to us about generosity of spirit and how a person is supposed to be generous with his money. And it's okay to be on the madrega that we have to force ourselves to give. That's oichid a madrega. That's also a madrega. But the higher madrega, it sounds like he's trying to say, well, I don't know which is higher. That's fair. I don't know which is higher. I don't want to say which is higher. But he definitely says over here that there's an issue called chibuv mitzvah, which is that chibuv mitzvah means two things. It means, number one, a person wants to put energy and effort in. They wanted to spin the threads from scratch. They didn't want to purchase threads. They wanted to get their hands dirty with it because this is my baby. This is what I want to put my effort and energy into. And number two, it shows just their excitement. They were so excited. They just want to give. They were so generous of spirit that they just wanted to give whatever they could for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They did not want to hold back. Again, beforehand, quoted the pshat that said it's one of two, right? There were two different people. There were some people that it wasn't natural, didn't come naturally, and other people that it did come more naturally. But both are accepted. And it could be there's different levels. I like what Barry said. It's not... You don't necessarily know who's on a higher level. He sort of sounded like he was saying that if you can work on... What I like to say is that you can work on yourself, that it becomes natural. That's important to know. Just because it's a struggle early, you can work on yourself that it becomes natural. But if you're not there yet, it's also a good madrega, because a lot of our a lot of our Yiddishkeit is working on ourselves, is fighting the battle between the body and the soul. So hopefully as we listen to the parasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata d'shmaya, that we should be zoche to keep on having the soul overcome the body, and we should keep on being nadva rucho, and nadva libo, and nadva rucho. And in the merit of our caring about our shuls and our yeshivas, our Migdash Ma'at, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see that we really care about our institutions, and he should rebuild the Beis HaMigdash. We should be zochet to see that gold and silver. May that day come. Imhere Yomeinu, Amen, Amen. I'd like to say a Kaddish, if it's okay. Rabbi Chanan Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Zachos, Yisrael. Have a great Shabbos. Thank you for coming. Have a great Shabbos.